Would you join with me in prayer? God Most High, thank you for signs of your power and grace shown to us even in the wilderness. Give us courage to stand firm in your word in every time of trial and testing, that we may enter the land of your freedom and receive the salvation you so generously give. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now today's the first Sunday in Lent, and I want to talk to you about giving up. And I'm putting a pause between those two words deliberately, because there's more than one way to understand the expression giving up. Now one of those ways puts the focus on ourselves, our temptations and our frailties. And that's how we're accustomed to think of giving up something for Lent or New Year's or for any other reason at any time of the year. But there's another way to give up, one that puts the focus not on us, but on God's incredible gift of love for us in Jesus. And that's the giving up that I want to invite us to take part in today. We all know what it means to give up something. What's the classic giving up is chocolate for Lent. In the 2000 film Chocolat, the chocolatier Vian moves into a small French village governed by the puritanical mayor, the Comte de Renault. The mayor denounces this newcomer for setting up her shop at the beginning of Lent, which he sees as an unacceptable temptation to the people. Vian makes connections in her new home, though, and wins friends and allies. And by the end of the film, the mayor breaks into her store, intent on smashing the place up. But the joke is on him, because he finally succumbs to his own temptation and gorges himself on every piece of chocolate in the shop before passing out exhausted in the front display window, where a gracious Vian discovers him and wins a sheepish apology and the mayor's grudging respect. Giving up in this kind of story means setting aside what you deeply want and using that choice to convince yourself and others of your moral strength. It can lead to self-righteousness and tyrannical behavior, to say nothing of self-deception and humiliating lapses. Now, there are things worth suffering and sacrificing for. Jesus himself showed us that. But this kind of giving up and the direction it's aimed in seems to be a story about human power and how it gets in the way of authentic relationships and love. The Comte de Renault has been giving up more than chocolate, and it only made him and the people around him all the more miserable. So let's be honest. If this is the kind of thing that Lent is about, then a lot of us are just going to opt out altogether. Spring is waiting in the wings, especially on a warmer day like today. In a few weeks, there will be flowers poking through the ground. There are plenty of life-affirming and enjoyable things we can do with our time. Will God really love us any less if we forgo 6 weeks of war against ourselves? I don't think so. But I think we miss out on a chance to grow as disciples if we pass on Lent completely. You see, Jesus didn't go out into the desert to test his mettle or to punish himself. He went out into the wilderness and fasted because doing these things made his choices clearer. The voice of the devil, which usually whispers subtly to us, sounded loud enough for him to respond. And so Jesus was able to reject the power to feed, the power to rule, and the power of personal security that the devil offered him. He mastered these temptations by remembering the story that he carried with him, the story of God's people. He answers the devil with the words of the book of Deuteronomy. And after Jesus had faced these temptations, he came back from the desert with a message of good news to share. We don't go into the wilderness alone. In any dry time in our lives, in a time of grief, loneliness, pandemic, or the voluntary wilderness of fasting and prayer, Jesus has already been there. and he goes with us. And I think it's arrogant for us to pretend that we need to go it alone in any wilderness. Jesus himself went into the wilderness right after his baptism, carrying God's words, which were still ringing in his ears. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. We share Jesus' baptism, and so he shares our wilderness with us. We don't go into the wilderness alone. Nor do we go into the wilderness ignorant of our destination. It's a mistake to plow through Lent as though Easter never happened, as though it's a surprise that comes at the end, not the destination that we're expecting through the whole journey. Jesus remembered the story of God's people as they traveled through their wilderness, remembered the part where they made it out the other side of that journey, and it helped sustain him as he faced his temptations. And so in the same way, we know that Jesus' march to Jerusalem goes through Good Friday into Easter. We know where we're headed. And I think it's a mistake to observe Lent as though we didn't. So today, I want to take us back to our Hebrew scripture lesson, because I think it shows us how to observe Lent faithfully. It's about giving up. The setting of this text is on the plain of the Jordan. The Hebrews have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. The promised land is within sight at last, just across the river, and the people are preparing to enter it. And Moses is dying as he speaks these final words to them. He won't be crossing the river with them, but he has enough strength left to remind the people about their deliverance from slavery in Egypt, their wilderness wanderings, and God's constant care for them. He teaches them about how they're to live their life once they receive God's gift of land. If you look at the text, you'll see that every time the word land is mentioned, it's immediately followed by the phrase that the Lord your God is giving you, or else it's clear in some way that the land is God's gift. Once the people enter the land, it will be very easy for them to forget everything that they have received. Forget that all of this is God's gift. And so Moses wants them to remember where their land came from. So he teaches the people that they should offer the fruits of their harvest to God, remember their story, and celebrate God's gifts together. Carrying their first fruits in a basket, the people come to the sanctuary and say, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." They have to acknowledge God's gift out loud. They have to speak the words. They have to give words to the blessing that they enjoy. Not only that, but they have to remember that God keeps promises. And then they tell the story of their deliverance, the story about Jacob and his family settling in Egypt, becoming a great nation, suffering slavery, crying out to God, being rescued from oppression and settling in the rich land that God had given them. And after they've acknowledged God's gifts, made their offering, and remembered their story, then and only then are they invited, not invited, commanded to celebrate. This Sunday at the start of Lent, we remember the story that leads toward Easter. That's our promised land. That's the land that we can see across the river. But we've also already entered that land. We've experienced Easter. Here we are, a community gathered in Jesus' name, worshiping God on the first day of the week, the day of resurrection. We've entered the land. We've received a great gift of forgiveness, of new and lasting life, of hope in the future that God is creating. We've begun to harvest our first fruits, acceptance and welcome as part of God's covenant family, a sense of peace and purpose in our lives, transformed hearts and minds. Even an awareness of our sin, an awareness of the ways that we fall short itself comes from knowing who God is. A longing for wholeness and transformation is God's gift as well. So let me tell you where Lent comes into this story for from our Old Testament. I think it comes in that moment that Moses describes in our text today, when the people bring their basket of first fruits to the sanctuary. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Lent isn't so much about giving up as giving up. It's about acknowledging God's good and rich gifts to us and offering back something of ourselves. It's about remembering the story God gave us, the story of salvation in the Scriptures. It's about preparing ourselves to celebrate at Easter by discovering and remembering the reasons for our celebration. These traditional Lenten disciplines, self-examination, penitence, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, reading and meditating on God's word, they all have a place in giving up. And so I'd like to invite you today to deepen your faith and commitment this Lent by giving up, by seeking out opportunities to practice these disciplines, not as a way of punishing yourself or testing yourself, but in order to appreciate the gift that you've received, not in a gloomy or dreary state of mind, but seriously and thoughtfully. Not so that God will forgive you at Easter, but because what God has done in Jesus has already reconciled you to God. Lent is about giving up. It's about being grateful and accepting the new life God has given us. Do you know what that life looks like? Would you like to discover the meaning and extent of God's gift to you? That's what the reading and meditating on God's word is about. And so if you'd like to enter into it this Lent, Bible study meets on Thursday mornings if you want to join us there. If you're not able to, though, you can use the Lenten devotional that I sent out some information about in the newsletter this week. What do you do with the gift you've received? Almsgiving is one way of giving back to God. God doesn't need anything we have, but we can show our gratitude for our gifts by giving to those with whom God identifies most closely, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and the sick. This past week, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance has put out an emergency appeal for help dealing with the humanitarian crisis caused by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. There are any number of ways to help with this situation or with other neighbors near and far. Have you accepted God's gift? Have you swallowed it whole and allowed it to reshape you? That's what self-examination, penitence, and prayer is about. It's about praying for and pondering the ways that your life can say more clearly to whom you belong. Are there broken relationships that you have the power to transform? Are there habits in your life, not just addictions, but ways of expressing anger or consuming resources? Are there habits in your life that make it harder for you and others to see that you are God's beloved child? Penitence is about making an intentional change. It means understanding your brokenness, talking to someone else about your struggle, and doing your best to put the broken pieces together. It's not a gloomy exercise, but a joyful practice of embracing the new life that God gives us. This Lent, I'd like you to consider how these disciplines might help you to accept God's gift. I'd like you to try giving up. Not giving up chocolate, not giving up on Lent, but giving up, giving something of yourself to the one who gave everything for you. Amen.